And some of us will be familiar with that term. The theme for this year, which I don't think you talked about, is Your Kingdom Come, which is awesome. And I have a heart for that idea. I have a heart for Your Kingdom Come, because to me it means the setting right of all things. You know, the broken things being mended, and that gives me a little bit of goosebumps when I think about that kind of stuff, because it's so good. But I actually get to take part in something like that. I work for a Christian NGO called Tear Fund, and that's essentially what we do. We work in the poorest parts of the world, trying to enable that kind of transformation, the setting right of things. And you know, it's amazing to be involved with that kind of work, but it's hard to remember that you're involved in that kind of work when you do it every day. But yeah, I'm not really going to be talking about that work side, but I'm going to be exploring the idea of Your Kingdom Come and how the practice of self-denial, which is what this next 2 weeks is going to be focusing on, is actually a manifestation of that. So, shall we pray? I think we should. All right, I've written it down because someone told me to do that once, but don't look at me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Father God, I know that I have struggled to put words and thoughts and phrases together in a way that will mean something to Your church this morning. And Lord, I know that ultimately that's all I can do. I can only create words. And it's only by Your Spirit that those words will become anything more than that. So we invite Your Holy Spirit to come now. Afresh, Lord, and speak to us. Speak through me, Lord. Let people hear completely different words than the ones that are coming out of my mouth, if that is Your will. I just so want Your will to be done, and I want You to be working in the lives of the people here this morning, and in me as well. Lord, thank You for the process of preparing for this and what You've been teaching me. Let nothing that is not of You remain in the hearts and minds of those here this morning. Amen. Amen. All right, so self-denial. Self-denial is hard. I'm not very good at it. I remember the different little things that we've had on the stage from time to time, like, what was last year's one? Does anyone remember what last year's one was? No one does. What? Oh, rice thingy. Was that last year? Nobody remembers what last year's one was. Maybe it was a rice thingy. There was a glass one year. What? Boxes. Oh, the gift box. And the greatest gift you can give is you. Anyway, that's okay. This year it's bags. But yeah, I don't know many people who are really good at self-denial. Maybe like elite athletes who deny self and stay on task. Or like people who don't enjoy fun, you know. They exist. They're good people. But why is it? I don't think I'm alone in finding it hard. Am I alone in finding it hard? Okay, good. So why is that? Why do you think it's so hard? I want to use a device that's often used in this church and ask you to turn to someone next to you and for about 30 seconds discuss that. Why is it hard to practice self-denial? Go to it, people. Okay. All right, so does anyone feel like they would like to call out what some of the things were? Like, what were some of the reasons why self-denial is hard? The ear is listening.
You can't always see.
You can't always see.
Or where the money's going, or what kind of impact it's having on the people that it goes to.
Okay, so...
You don't see the results of what you're giving.
Specifically talking about financial self-denial? Yeah. Okay, cool, yeah. Missing out on something? Yep.
It's like we live in a society that is instant. We have instant coffee, instant food, instant eating. So to deny good, right, instant grain. What a lot of our society is about. Just coming home, being really tired and sore, so you just turn on TV rather than maybe it should be $1,000.
Yep. There's a lot of different reasons, eh? I think as human beings we're engineered not to deny ourselves, kind of. So it's very against culture and That's what Jesus calls us to, I guess. But before we talk about that, let's look at some scriptural verses. And we're familiar with the idea of self-denial. And if you turn to Luke chapter 9, I think it's verse 23. I didn't write that bit down. You don't have to look it up, because I am going to read it to you. But he says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And it's recorded in Mark as well. And he says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Who's heard that verse before? At least 100% of the room, at least. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. At face value, that could possibly be taken as a poetic metaphor. You know, a really nice idea, a noble principle. But Jesus said it, and he tends to choose his words quite well, I think. Deny yourself. So to deny yourself is to say no to it, right? To say no to self. And as we've already discussed today, that isn't an easy thing for a variety of different reasons. So we've got deny yourself. Just going to unpack this a little bit. Deny yourself. And then Jesus asks us to take up the cross, which, as we know, is a symbol of what? Death. It's a symbol of death. And I feel, for me, I need to be reminded of the reality of the cross, because it is more than just a tidy symbol. You know, it's so much more than that. So I ummed and ahed about including this next little portion, but you know, I ran this past Mick and he didn't even raise it, so it must be totally okay to include this. But I found a medical explanation of crucifixion, and it's probably a little bit PG, but I think we're okay for this crowd, and language is still coming to that one, so we're good. All right, so this is crucifixion from a medical point of view, so I'm just going to read it, I don't know. I'll see how we go. So as the arms get tired, cramps sweep over the muscles, knotting them in a deep, relentless pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push yourself upwards. So when you're hanging by your arms, the pectoral muscles are unable to function properly. Air can be drawn into the lungs but cannot be exhaled. So Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one short breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. So he's able to push himself up to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. And hours of that limitless pain, cycles of twisting and joint-rending cramps, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back, as he moves up and down the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep, crushing pain in the chest as the pericardium, which is the sac around the heart, fills with serum and starts to compress on the muscle of the heart itself. And so this heart, which is being compressed, is struggling to pump blood that is already thick and sluggish into the tissues. Are you doing okay? And the tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. The markedly dehydrated tissues send their flood of stimuli to the brain. Jesus gasps, "I thirst." And it's not an easy thing. The cross is suffering. The Message Bible, just sit with that for a minute. The Message Bible translates Matthew 16 like this: "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how." So when we combine these two ideas, man, I feel like a lecturer right now. I'm so not a lecturer. When we combine these two ideas, denying ourselves and taking up the cross, we essentially are called to stop trying to preserve our own lives and walk towards the difficult, painful things. But we don't do it alone. We do it with Jesus. And that makes it a whole different story. Follow me, he says. We take ourselves off the throne and let him sit there instead. And I think it is hard in our lives, in my life especially, where there's so little persecution. We have pretty much all that we need, most of us do, in the various situations that we find ourselves. Life, we have first world problems, you know? My brother was complaining to me the other day, why doesn't Auckland Wellington use the same hop system? Now I have to carry two cards. And it's like, wow. He said it himself, I'm not judging him. He said, first world problems. But it's true, you know, sometimes, not always, the extent of what we face is rather minimal until something big happens. But some people face these kind of persecutions on a daily basis. Anyway, the fact that Jesus calls us to the cross like he was really hits that part of the scripture home for me. Self-denial is death. So who's feeling a little bit down now? I was. Thank you for that honesty. But there's a but. It's not only a death. It's a death that leads to life. And it's life not just for you, but for others as well. And that is why Jesus calls us to it. He wants to use us to transform the world. I was challenged by Wilson in the Cup of Tea series he held in June. Who went to that? There's a few of us, eh? Yeah. On the last night, he took us on a walking tour around Manurewa, and he asked us to look for the awkward and the unlovely places through Jesus' eyes. So as we were walking around, he was speaking about Jesus eating with sinners, and he would be talking about that while we were standing close to a bar, and he'd be talking about people that were being pulled in by moneylenders and loan sharks while we stood outside in Easy Money. So really, you know, reality, more reality, not just a story, but reality. And I was struck when we were doing that by how challenging this life with Jesus is actually meant to be, you know, and how much our world needs more Jesus, or how much Jesus needs us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Follow him into the woodies, into the streets, into the neighborhoods, local and global, that need him so much. So where I'm at right now is knowing that this is what Jesus calls the church to hard stuff. He calls us to hard stuff. And Mick, this is something he talks about all the time. So this is not a new message from me. He calls us to life with people not like us, just like he did, you know? And I thought it would be so easy to come away from that night, think about it, and leave it as a nice idea, like it would be. But it has to be more than that. It must be, you know? If I want to be a disciple, I need to die like him. And man, I don't want to, eh? Man, it's hard. It's hard. I have a reluctant heart. Maybe you do too. But I feel Jesus tugging at me, asking him to show me the way into that kind of life, to lead me and open doors. I feel that self-denial is a way of allowing God preeminence in an area of our lives in which we may struggle, allowing him to supply our needs by not meeting them ourselves. And this is a conscious act, not one of laziness or sloth, but a willingness to let go and to surrender and allow Jesus to fill that space. So I'm going to share some stories now that I believe are examples of the life that comes with the kingdom. I hope you can understand them. They're not always, maybe they are straightforward. I don't think they all are, but we'll see how we go. So this first one is from Australia, and this is my one slide today. So I thought if I only had one slide, it's all or nothing. So it'll either go perfectly well and it'll show up, or it won't. But don't show it up yet if it is ready to go. Did it just show up on screen? Yeah. Okay, but that's okay. You can put it back up. This is a story about this guy on the screen. And the story is written by a guy called Tony Biggs. He's an Australian. I think he's a radio DJ. I don't think he's a Christian. So the story is in his words. So here it is. His words, remember, not my words. So this is Jesse. That's that guy's name. He's a drifter who lives near the bridge in my area. He owns nothing but a bike, a bird, and a bag of about 10 items. Yesterday, while I was riding my bike down around the beach, which is about 5K from my house, I got a flat tire. I had no choice but to turn around and wheel my bike the long way home. A few people rode past and didn't really pay me any attention, and I didn't expect them to. But as I started walking, headphones in my ears, I noticed the homeless guy from under the bridge saying something to me. At first, I thought he was going to ask me for something, so I popped out my headphones and asked him what he wanted. And he replied, "I don't want nothing, brah, but I got a new tube in my bag you can have if you want it." Shocked at first, I said, "No thanks," but he insisted. He insisted. So I walked over to his little clearing where he had his things and his pet bird in a busted cage, and he opened up his empty bag and gave me a tube, which was one of the very few things that he had. And he helped me change the tire. He even pumped it up. And I asked him how I could pay him back, and he said, "Don't worry about it, bro. This is what it's all about." And the enormity of his situation and the fact that he went out of his way to help me was so humbling. I mean, this guy was willing to give me his stuff and didn't want anything in return. To you and I, a bike tube would probably not mean much, but to a guy with so little, this item must hold enormous value. And he goes on to say, "I could go on and on about how selfless this guy was to give me, a total stranger, clearly in a much better position than him, some of his possessions, while people like us are so selfishly attached to all our useless crap." His words. "Anyway, I just wanted to show you a pic of Jesse with his new Versace lenses. He's got Versace lenses on there, some fresh sneakers, a full belly, and a cold beer. Felt good to do something for the bloke. I also went up to Woolies and got him a couple of weeks' worth of food and some seed for his bird, lol." Man, he was ecstatic. Even had tears in his eyes and couldn't thank me enough. But amidst me sitting there, proud of my good deed, and him singing my praises, I suddenly felt pretty bad, because the truth is, if he hadn't gone out of his way to help me, I wouldn't have done anything for him. I ride past this guy all the time and never even think twice. Really knocked me off my high horse. Even though we sit around with all our materialistic needs and pass judgment, this dude has something none of us can buy." End story. A death that leads to life. I saw that story in Facebook on June. A colleague of mine showed it to me. And then, has anyone heard that story actually? Wow, okay. That's okay. I'm surprised, because then it had 96,000 likes and 94,000 shares, which is quite a lot. And I looked at it yesterday, and it had grown to, that's what it was yesterday. Originally, it was around 90. So people are hungry for that kind of life. They're inspired by it. It's like, wow, that's amazing. I need to tell people about that. I need to share it. Your kingdom come. Do you guys think that is a story that is evidence of the kingdom coming? I do. I really do. All right, so that's story one from Australia. This is story two, and this one's from America. And I think... Oh, good, he's gone. I think you can... I think it's written by a counselor. And again, I think it's in their own words, so not my own words, which is not plagiarism. It's a story. So here we go. Ready? Are you ready? All right. "So when Jesus looked up and saw the poor widow giving away two small coins, he was touched by her willingness to give all she had. Her two coins were nothing, but to her they were everything. We know this story well and apply it to our financial giving. We understand that Jesus is concerned not about dollar amounts, but about our heart and the percentage of our income that we are willing to give. But does the story have more to teach us?" He talks about a woman called Rachel. Rachel is a dedicated Christian. She fasts, reads a Bible, journals, and prays every day. Her conversation is filled with references to Jesus and how he touches her life. She is rich in her spiritual walk. And yet, she is in abject poverty in other areas of her life. As the child of an addict, she struggles with addictive behavior herself. And she recently called discouraged after a weekend of overindulgence and said, "If I give in to my addictions, does it mean that Jesus doesn't have my heart?" Suddenly, the story of the poor widow came to mind. Rachel is able to give generously to God out of her wealth, but it is impossible for her to give the same amount out of her poverty. For a TV addict to go the whole weekend without TV is for them to give all they have. For a child of abuse to go one day without screaming at his own children is for him to give all he has. For a recovering gossip to hold their tongue just once is to give all they have. God doesn't compare how much we give to how much others give, and we know this. He compares how much we give to how much we have. Rachel now carries 2 pennies in her pocket every day, and they serve to remind her that although she is poor, she is giving all she has to God. So what does that teach me? The idea that self-denial, choosing the path of suffering, will look different for each of us. You know, we had a variety of responses as to why we find self-denial hard. Like the story said, for a TV addict to go the whole weekend without watching TV is to give all that they have. Or maybe if you love sleep and would stay in bed all day, maybe getting up and spending time with Jesus is self-denial for you. Or maybe it's something like letting your wife have the remote control. Or choosing not to win an argument. Or maybe if you rely more on money than on God, maybe it's about giving away more than is comfortable. Or if you're a chronically shy person, maybe it's about saying hi to your neighbor. And these denials of self, although painful, are steps away from death and towards life. Or maybe you're like me, and this story fits with your where you're at-ness, if that's a word. So on Sundays, me and a very special person in my life, very, very, very close, let's call her Losa. It's my wife, Lisa. Just protecting there. We try and go for a walk every afternoon on a Sunday just to get some fresh air and, you know, breathe and talk and exercise. Weekly constitutional. So a few Sundays ago, we were walking and talking and going along the beautiful Weymouth streets. You know, the sun was shining, it was a little bit cold. Beautiful day, like a 9 out of 10 walk. And as we were going along, chatting away, we were sort of heading around going on the way home. And in the distance, we spotted two cyclists in suits with little name tags. And we were sort of both walking, and my really good friend, and isn't it interesting how people that you're really close to can sort of speak your own thoughts? She says one word as we're walking, she's like, "Avoid." So we turned the corner, and I think we even sped up a little bit. that was the experience. But when I think about it, when I zoom out and look at the big picture, that little 90-degree turn, although it might be funny, and if I'm really honest with myself, it was actually me being selfish and trying to avoid a potentially awkward situation, potentially. If I was someone who couldn't resist arguing with those gentlemen in suits on bikes, then turning would have been dying to self. But I am not someone that enjoys arguing with gentlemen in suits on bikes. So for me, if I'm really honest, turning that corner was me sitting on the throne. And it was taking away from Jesus a chance for him to use me, potentially. You know, I never know what would have happened. I won't, because that situation is gone now. Yeah, but I took away a chance for him to use me in someone else's life. Maybe. So that's that story. Self-denial is choosing to allow God's kingdom to manifest in and through our lives. And this is done by the things we do and do not do. How are we going? So what is it for you? This is a little chinwag moment for you guys. You don't need to share. You could chinwag to yourself inside your own head, if you like. But what is it for you? Like, what is that thing or things that that came to mind while you were listening to these stories? Like, what is it? What is it in your life that Jesus is asking you to die in? What is that situation? So just spend a little bit of time. Feel free to talk to the person next to you if you're comfortable doing that. But no pressure. You do not have to. And go. I'm still figuring out what it is for me, by the way. There's a lot of things it could be. Or a lot of things it is. But of course, at the heart of self-denial is Jesus. Isn't it? Yeah. It is. It's Jesus. He denied himself his power as the Son of God and came to earth as a human being, using his power instead to limit himself, to be nailed to the cross so that a way could be opened for us to have a relationship with him. He died so that we might have life. And what is my response to that example? Well, honestly, I believe a life that is slowly being transformed, but that clings stubbornly to the self-entitled lies that say I do enough or deserve even more. Deny ourselves and take up the cross, allowing Jesus full reign in our lives, because only when he's in charge can this death lead to life. And I don't want to focus on the disciplinary, must be a good Christian angle of that, because in me that generally just creates distance and resentment. But I encourage the practice of self-denial, because obeying Jesus in this way actually gives freedom. It doesn't reduce life. It expands life. So putting those kinds of practices in your life, like giving, you know, putting others first, saying no to yourself, looking out for others, walking towards the men on the suits, on the bikes, they actually remove the blockages in our hearts that stop Jesus from filling us up. And the more we allow him into our lives, the more of that freedom we're going to experience, the more of joy we will experience. Okay, we are nearly done. You guys have been amazing. Awesome. One more story. Is anyone familiar with Frank Laubach? A guy called Frank Laubach? One person? Just you. Wow. I think he's an amazing guy. He was this missionary in the Philippines. I think he was born around 1890, so he was there when it was really basic, and he lived in a very basic place. But this guy, Frank Laubach, had a very unique relationship with God. He made it the goal of every waking moment of his life to walk in an awareness of the presence of Jesus. Amazing guy, amazing guy. And there's a book of his journal entries of what that experience was like for him. And I just wanted to read a little bit of that to you, because I think it's a really good example of this idea. So on January 26, 1930, some of us here were alive then. So cast your minds back. This is what Frank said on that day. For the past few days, I have been experimenting in a more complete surrender than ever before. I am taking, by deliberate act of will, enough time from each hour to give God much thought. Yesterday and today, I have made a new adventure, which isn't easy to express. I am feeling God in each movement by an act of will, willing that he shall direct these fingers that now strike this typewriter, willing that he shall pour through my steps as I walk. Paul speaks of our liberty in Christ. I am trying to be utterly free from everybody, free from my own self, but completely enslaved to the will of God every moment of this day. To respond to Jesus as a violin responds to the bow. And on May 24th, a couple of months later, he says, "As I analyze myself, I find several things happening to me as a result of these months of strenuous effort to keep the Lord in mind every minute. This concentration upon God is strenuous, but everything else has ceased to be so. I think more clearly, I forget less frequently. Things which I did with strain before, I now do easily and with no effort whatever. I worry about nothing and lose no sleep. Each minute I meet calmly as though it were not important. Nothing can go wrong except one thing. That is that God may slip from my mind if I do not keep on my guard. If he is there, the universe is with me. My task is simple and clear." Now, I don't know what you guys think about that. Impossible. Amazing. I'm definitely on the amazing side. But at its core, in my eyes, there is a life that has died to self, that has taken up their cross, and is following Jesus in a way that is seldom seen. And if I could practice that for even a fraction of the time, I'd probably be living in the Philippines, to be honest. I'd probably be doing something else. Or not, who knows. But I know that my life would be radically different. So Frank started that experiment of his, at 45, and he continued until his death at 85 years of age. And part of me thinks he probably didn't even notice the transition from death to life. He just carried on being in the presence, which would be a pretty sweet way to leave Earth, I think. As we die, we will live. And every time we choose to die, we choose your kingdom come. And that's pretty much me for today. So as we finish, and I'm not sure if Mick's going to come up and do a wrap-up or not, I want to leave you with that scripture from the Message, Mark 16, and this is it. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how." So, because it is self-denial, please take some time now to come to the front and collect your free set bag. And as you do that, stop, find a place, and take a moment and just ask Jesus what it is in your life that he wants to work on, what it is in your life that he wants you to die in, you know? We'll do that now. The front.
Bag there. I think there is, it's one per family actually, and there is some bags out there. Where are they, Chris? Near where the coffee is, yeah. Alex, where's Alex? Is he still here? Did he do a runner? Oh, there you are. When was the last time you spoke? Oh, no, you've spoken in my time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we'll have him up. Again, I think the rate of frequency, you that was excellent. Thank you very much. He's a natural, isn't he? That is brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Let's all stand, friends. Yeah. Let's all stand. So as you go from here, may you have the courage to follow through on what the Holy Spirit shared with you this morning. I don't know about you, but that demands courage. The courage to go against your own inclinations, the courage to go against other people even, and the courage to go against culture and be willing to be different. So I really do ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that you will experience courage to follow through on that which you felt the Holy Spirit whisper to you in the service today. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And we all said, Amen. God bless you, people. We have, by the way, next week, an African from the UK speaking. That's next Sunday. Yep. Yeah.